Borada. 안녕하세요. And good morning. Welcome. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Pastoral news. Margaret Blake's funeral is at Kingston Crematorium on Friday the 11th of May at 1:40. Please pray for the family. Your prayers are also asked for Eddie Keir, who is in hospital. Sorry? Oh, news? New news? Who was in hospital and came out yesterday, but would still benefit from our prayers. Congratulations go to Alison Holt as she starts her new position as councillor for Surbiton Hill. I know she's... This year we will start the Christian Aid Week of fundraising off with a beetle drive this Saturday here at 4 to 6. Now, another activity involves some of our intrepid members. It's a mere fortnight now until a sporting event to rival the recent London Marathon or the Commonwealth Games or to eclipse the World Cup in Russia in a couple of months' time. I'm talking, of course, about Christian Aid's 2018 Circle the City endurance test. Looking at this year's list of participants, Mo Farah and the members of the recently victorious English women's netball team are just a few of the names you will not find represented. Possibly a challenge too far for them. However, KURC is again fielding a strong team, which this year consists of Georgina Forbes, whose name is whispered with hush awe in KURC walking circles, and whose annual New Year walks are used by the Army as a template for commando training exercises. Fitness fanatic Rosette Omimbali, who enjoys nothing more than relaxing with 100 press-ups and 2 hours of Zumba before breakfast. And finally, Vaughan James, who, well, moving on quickly. If you would like to support Christian Aid by sponsoring any of these, you will find them lurking suggestively in the Mayor Hall after the service. I look forward to next week's. There are, of course, other events, and these are shown on the back of the service paper, so do take it home to remind you of how you can participate. Next Sunday morning service will be followed by our church meeting. Minutes of the March meeting are available in the yellow box file in the office, and the agenda and the minutes will be circulated via email in the next few days. And finally, welcome Ted to the service. We look forward to hearing your words. And finally, Steve would like to say something.
Excuse me. Next Sunday will be our May Messy Church. Unfortunately, only 2 weeks after the April one, which means that we are short of staff. The theme is Messy Church Does Nature. We've got all sorts of activities, which include making bird feeders, leaf and bark boats, ladybird potato prints. But to make this work, we need at least two more helpers. Messy Church starts at 3:30 and finishes at 5:30 and includes a light meal if you want it. We'd also be really grateful for somebody to be here just from 3:30 till about 4 to do the register as families arrive. Sally is on a well-deserved holiday, and she's left me in charge. I really want it to be a success, so I would appreciate your help.
Good morning. As always, it's a great privilege to be leading our worship today. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 98, which is the lectionary psalm for this Sunday, and will appear on the screens, and there we go. So shall we say together, please, sing a new song to the Lord. Praise him with songs and shouts of joy. Play music on harps, blow trumpets and horns. Praise the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. Our first hymn this morning is number 373 for those using the hymn books. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us, living Lord. Into our lives, your power breaks through. Amen. Our prayer of approach this morning, there is a response, please. I will say, we come in faith. Please respond with, meet with us now. We come in faith, meet with us now. Let us pray. Almighty God, we join together this morning to worship you, knowing that you are here among us, that you are concerned about each one of us, that we sit here, stand here, waiting to speak your word, ready to give, bless, and lead us. We come in faith. Meet with us now. So we bring our songs to you, our readings from your word, our thinking, our listening, our praying and our praising. We bring the fellowship we share, the discipleship we offer, the world we belong to, and the lives you have given us. We come in faith. Meet with us now. So open our eyes to your presence. Open our hearts to your love. Open our minds to your wisdom. And teach us through all that we do this day to be your children, your disciples, your church, your people. We come in faith. Meet with us now. Amen. And now let's say together the Lord's Prayer in whatever language and whichever form you wish to do so. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. At this point, I'm going to hand over to Steve to talk to the children and to us as older children. Thank you, Steve.
Can you hear? You can. Good. What do you think we're going to talk about this morning?
Love again.
Yes. Well, it's important. I've got here some pictures. I want you to choose one. Have a look at the person in there. Choose one card. Just take one. Don't look at the pictures. It's meant to be a surprise. Right, okay. Bring that one out here, Aaron. Hold it really high so that everybody can see. What's wrong with this one? They're what?
They're hugging.
They're hugging. Why do you think they're hugging?
Because they love each other.
I think that could be it. Now, do you think you could love somebody who looks like that? Somebody smiley and happy. Aaron, do you think you could love somebody like that? You don't know. Right. Okay, that's honest. Right, you take one. What have you got? Somebody who looks a little bit unusual. Do you think you could love somebody who looks like that? I wonder what the grown-ups think. Yes. I hear a yes. Lovely. Good. I think perhaps it would be quicker if I got some out. Could you love somebody who looks like that? So could you love him, even though he's made a big mistake? You sound a bit doubtful, not quite as keen as on the other ones. Go on, choose another one, Aaron. Thank you. Come and show us what you've got. Right. Somebody who's concentrating very hard.
working very hard, looking very serious. Could you love somebody who looks like that? Yes, yes, probably. Trouble is you'd have to get to know them a bit. Can you find a bad one? What about this one? There's a jolly looking chap. I think he'd be quite easy to love. What do you think? You shaking your head? No. That'll do. What about somebody who's got looks like that? Look at his face, how serious he looks. Does he look like the sort of person you might go and hug? Maybe. It would be different, wouldn't it? Right. I don't mind. I think we'll let Esther have one more because she didn't have one. What about this person? Person? Character? Who's that? It's Woody from Toy Story. Yes. So lots of people love their toys. Last one. Ah, we'll have that one. Could you love that? How could you not love that? Ah, Bron says, what if it's a big mother bear looking a bit scary? Would you feel like loving her? You'd follow that. What would you do if you saw the mother bear? A mother polar bear? You'd have to have very long arms, and if she'd got a baby, she'd be quite fierce. Because she's fluffy, not as fluffy as her baby. Anyway, all these pictures really are just to say we'll look at the rest when we go out. We can't always tell what people are like by just looking at them. We can't tell whether we would want to love them until we get to know them. And Jesus said that we should try and love everybody. Yes? Did you hear, Aaron? Jesus said you should try and love everybody. And it's not always easy.
I was going to say, can you stay for the hymn? That's all right. We want to leave too early. So we're going to sing now. 523, Give Me Joy in My Heart. Now, it's quite a lively one. So I don't know whether anyone might like a ribbon. I've got some ribbons up here. I've got some shakers. Do you want a shaker? Ribbon? Yeah, come up then. There's some ribbons here and some shakers. And adults, anybody? Sir, what do you like, Bethany? You're okay with your hands. Right. Give me joy in my heart. If we're able, shall we stand to sing? Thank you. Please sit down. Now we'll say goodbye to the children. And we'll see you later. Will you come back in? Yeah, okay. And we'll now have our readings from his word.
I'm reading from John 15, chapter 9 to 17. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask for in his name. This, then, is what I command you. Love one another.
The first epistle of John, chapter 5, the first 6 verses. Our victory over the world. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah is a child of God, and whoever loves a father loves his child also. This is how we know that we love God's children. It is by loving God and obeying his commands. For our love for God means that we obey his commands. And his commands are not too hard for us, because every child of God is able to defeat the world. And we win the victory over the world by means of our faith. Who can defeat the world? Only the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the one who came with the water of his baptism and the blood of his death. He came not only with the water, but with both the water and the blood. And the Spirit himself testifies that this is true, because the Spirit is truth. Amen.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Olive. Time goes by very quickly, doesn't it? I came here last September, and June seemed a long way off. Here I am, beginning of May, looking to only being with you here at Kingston URC for another 4 weeks. Thank you. But I do remember that when I first came, Leslie said to me, "Do you know, the congregation are a really bright bunch. They're very knowledgeable." So I thought, as I've only got a few services left to give, I would test that out and see if she was right. So I will report back to Leslie in the week. So I've got three questions for you. Right, the first one. What is the name of the Greek god, small g, the Greek god of love? What's the Greek god of love? No. Eros. Eros. Right. Oh, you see, that's pretty good. Okay, one out of one. Who is the Roman, or was the Roman god of love? Did I hear that whispered? Eros, I can hear someone say. No, that was the Greek god of love. The Roman god of love, hang on. Cupid. Cupid. Or Amor, actually, because it's the Roman god of love or beauty. And that's where we get amorous from, Amor. Cupid or Amor. Okay, so one and sort of a bit of one. Okay, third and last question then. But probably the hardest one, but it's multiple choice. So you've got four possible answers. Who is known of the four apostles of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who of those four is known as the apostle of love? John, absolutely. John, the son of thunder and the apostle of love. Of course, not quite the same sort of love of Eros or Cupid, not that sensual, romantic, erotic type of love, but to use the word that John would have used, agape, not a fellowship type of love, a companionship type of love, but an unconditional love, the sort of love that transcends and persists all circumstances, a selfless love, a love that puts the other person before oneself, passionately committed to the other, agape. Justin Welby describes it as the active pursuit of the well-being of others without seeking any return. The active pursuit of the well-being of others without expecting any return. Agape. And in both John's Gospel and in the two epistles which bear his name, that agape is referred to on numerous occasions, as is the great love triangle. Did you know that you're in a love triangle? God, you as an individual, and everybody else. If you can imagine in your mind a triangle with God at the top, you and everybody else. God loves you, God loves everybody else. God commands us to love him, and he commands us to love everybody else. And in John 15, we have that reading, which is the second part of what we had last week when we talked about Jesus as the vine and Jesus saying, live in me, attach yourself to the vine. I am the true vine. Be a branch attached to me. And if you're not, you die. So John repeats Jesus' words. If you obey me, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. My commandment is this: love one another as I love you. And then we have the first epistle, the first letter, 1 John, and that love triangle is re-emphasized: God, ourselves, and other people. But then in 1 John 5, verse 3, as Olive read to us, John declares, this commandment is not too hard, or the NIV version, not too burdensome to keep. This commandment is not too hard to keep. Really? Loving other people is not hard to keep. Love another, agape love, in all circumstances, unconditionally, passionately committed, putting the welfare, the well-being of other people before ourselves. not too hard, not too difficult, not too burdensome. Is that really the case? I think John might be expecting a bit too much from us here. Because if we are honest with ourselves, whether it's at a mundane level, perhaps your noisy neighbour or the person who cuts you up in traffic or the person who jumps the queue in front of you, it's easier to dislike them, isn't it, than to show them agape love. Within family life, the habits and foibles of our loved ones can irritate and make it difficult to show that agape love. And that's excluding those people on our margins of our society who have a lifestyle and values different from our own. And what about church life? What about people in church, the things that we do in church, the people we mix with in church? I have, as you can expect, many conversations about Christianity and about the challenge of keeping the faith. And it's very often about just how difficult it is to love one another. Yet in this letter of John's, he's just reflecting Jesus' word when Jesus said, "The yoke that I give you is not burdensome, it's light." And he was reflecting there the light burden of his commandments in contrast to the 600 odd laws of Moses. So where do we go? Where do we go to resolve this dilemma that we've got? The Apostle Paul puts it that it's the constant struggle between fruits of the flesh, those things as fallen humankind we actually engage in, against the fruits of the Spirit, those positive things that God would have us do. We need to, for an answer, for a starting point to our answer, go back to John 1. Let's just quote, "His commands are not too hard for us to keep because every child of God is able to defeat the world, and we win the victory over the world by means of our faith. His commands are not too hard for us to keep because every child of God, everyone who believes, you and I, are able to defeat the world, overcome our natural tendencies by means of our faith." Let me just quote from an American theologian here, Judith Jones. "You know who you are. You are a child of God by faith. You know whose you are. You are God's. You know what you've been told. Love one another. So don't panic or argue. Focus simply on living your faith. For God knows the situation. He has the situation under control. He knows how hard it is to keep that commandment to love one another. Let's not use that obedience to that command as a stick to beat ourselves up. Don't say our love for others just proves whether we love God or not. For here, John is actually saying, our love for God, our desire, no matter how often we fail, to keep God's commands, will harness the power of the Spirit. Instead, let's just focus on living our faith." I wish there could be more time for a greater expansion, because that is so important, because it's so difficult to keep that commandment. But we have communion this morning and the clock ticks on. Let me just conclude with something really practical. Some of that is semantics, and you need to look at the verse and see what it's saying to us. But Leslie and I and Sukin were at a conference last week. We were away for 4 days of last week, a gathering of URC ministers. And I came away with many nuggets of learning. And one that I came away with was called One Degree of Shift. And the idea is that if you change your behaviour just by one degree, just by a smidgen, over time, as you walk a slightly different course, you'll be a long way from where you were. Let's go from here this morning, thinking about that one degree of shift, thinking about that one thing that we might be able to do, that as the weeks and months progress, will move us into a completely different place. That noisy neighbour, let's give them a wave. That person who cuts us up in traffic or jumps the queue, let's give them the smile. Let's give the untidy teenager a hug. That beggar, let's buy them a hot drink. That food bank mum, let's help carry their bags. And that difficult circumstances at church, that difficult person you have a job to relate to, perhaps, just perhaps, they need their burden lifting a bit. They need a tender word of encouragement. Let's go this week talking about loving each other, encouraging each other to do that. And as we go through the days, may our faith strive to show that agape love to each other. Amen. We're going to sing again now. It's 646 for those using the hymn books. Help us to accept each other. If we're able, let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your great and never-ending love, which never stops seeking us out, never fades, never lets us go. We pray this morning for those whose relationships have been broken, whether through separation, divorce, or bereavement. And we pray for those who never enjoyed the relationships they might have had. Children unwanted by their parents, parents alienated from children, family members estranged from one another. We pray for individuals who feel rejected by society, who live on the margins, those who have no confidence in their abilities, no place where they feel accepted, no sense of their own worth. We pray for communities divided by prejudice, race, or religion, for churches where there is disagreement, tension, and disharmony, and for many nations broken by war and violence. Almighty God, bring friendship to the lonely, reconciliation to the estranged, harmony to the divided, and comfort to the bereaved. In our homes and our families, our schools and our places of work, our country and our world, may your love be shared among us and between us. In the name of Christ, amen. Our offering will now be received. Prayer of dedication. Heavenly and gracious God, you give us so much. Accept now these tokens of our thanks, small though they are. Use them, use us in your service to the glory of your name and the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Amen. And now let us gather around the Lord's table. Let us pray. Loving God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, We worship you, the one, holy, and eternal God. In the company of all your people, we come to you, and your presence is a joy to us. We come to this table
to meet with you and with each other. We come ready
to take the bread and to break it,
to take the wine and drink it, to remember again the sacrifices of our Lord, and to be changed by being
here with you. As we worship,
embraced by your love, let us give ourselves openly and freely, as you give yourself
to us in tenderness and love. But as we do, we confess that we live in a world in which some are hungry even for bread. Many people are sad or hurt, and there's much that is unfair and unjust. And indeed, we confess that in our own lives, we do not always do what is right or turn away from what is wrong. We ask now your forgiveness. We claim your love and mercy, and we ask for courage to make a new beginning. As forgiven people, we say, Amen. Let us now recall the narrative of the Lord's Supper as recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our custom here is to remain seated, and you will be served where you sit. If you do not wish to receive the bread or the wine, please just pass the tray along. I'd point out that there is a gluten-free alternative on the trays for the bread, and the wine is alcohol-free. When we receive the bread, we eat it straight away as an individual sign of our personal relationship with our Lord. And then when we receive the wine, we retain the cup and we drink it collectively together as a sign of our unity and union with God. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, that from the earth you caused the grain to come for the making of bread. We praise you for Christ, the bread of life, whose body was given for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and this bread, so that the bread we break may be to us the communion of the body of Christ. We give thanks to you, O God, that you cause the vine to yield fruit. We bless you for Christ, whose blood was poured out for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us and this wine, so the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the blood of Christ. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this bread.
And give thanks to God, we break it. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and following his example, we take this cup, we give thanks. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Let us pray. God of a love stronger than death, you have given us new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. God of truth and power, you have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for the journey ahead. God of mercy, you have taken our weakness and our sin and refashioned us by grace. Almighty God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one in your eternal presence, whole and free at last. Amen. And our final hymn this morning, for those using hymn books, is 521. Faith in thy name we go, to follow our Lord in all we think, speak, and do. Let us stand if we are able to sing. Should we sit down for a second? Well done, Kingston URC, in singing that and making that fit. Thank you very much. You might have seen some confusion here because the words in the hymn book were not quite those words. Anyway, we need to see, I think, what the children have done. So, Aaron, what have you done? Oh, wow. Love one another. Were some of those faces that you showed earlier on? You didn't cut out any of those, Aaron. You did. Oh, well done. Oh, he did? Well done. Yeah. That's a really important message, isn't it? Yeah, well done, Aaron. Love one another. No matter how difficult it is, we've got to try to do that, haven't we? And when we don't succeed, we have to say sorry to God for it and ask God to make us try better next time. Thank you very much. Do they get a round of applause for that? Yeah. Well done. Thank you. So, if we're able, let us stand for the blessing. Lord Jesus, we thank you that this morning you have satisfied our hunger and thirst with the living bread and new wine. Go with us now and help us to share what we have received so that others may come to know your saving grace and love. And let us say the grace together, and if you feel comfortable, to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.